Oh, Father, we glorify you. We exalt your name this evening. Pray for a downpouring of your spirit in your people today. Cause us to hear and cause us to see. Because we know in seeing and in hearing, our salvation comes. Salvation comes by seeing and by hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Praise God. I'm going to start off a reminder from a letter to Titus. This a letter to Titus by Paul. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you." Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God. Now, we see, Paul is talking about the grace of the Lord that has appeared from heaven. That grace that brings salvation to all men has appeared from heaven. This is the only thing that can save a man. That thing which appeared from heaven. The Bible says that the Son of God has descended from heaven to destroy the works of the devil, and he does this by imparting understanding into his people. "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Not lack of letters, not lack of earthly knowledge, but they perish for, out of ignorance that is in their hearts. But the Bible says that the light of the world is now shining from heaven into the hearts of men, causing the revelation of Christ to come forth. Praise God. Teaching us to deny all ungodly and, all the lusts associated with the natural human mind, and to live soberly in this present age. Now, if you can mark this word, live soberly in this present world. Because in the other world to come, there is no more need to live soberly. Praise God, because that is to live soberly. See, you live soberly in this realm to kind of keep yourself, as in this natural world, in this present world. But in the ages to come, you walk in the liberty of the Son of God, who is purely righteous, who is without iniquity, who is faultless, without blame. See, there's no restriction there. In that dimension that God brings us with, where you begin to walk in freeness, totally liberated, in new life, in new dimension, a new walk in the Spirit, free from the beggarly elements of this world, that cause men to lust and cause men to fall into all the problems that they have. So God is teaching us right now. It all comes by teaching. Teaching is all comes by listening to the voice of the Spirit. Jesus Christ says, I have come to testify of the truth. Pontius Pilate asks now, what do you mean by the truth? What is the truth? I have come to testify of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is simply revelation. Revelation of that which God proposed for you and I from the foundation of the world. Praise God. People will be surprised how much they do not know God. People will be surprised how much veiled we are to the reality of what the loving Father is and his intention towards us. Because we have a God that is pure light. A God that is a God of pure love and light. Praise God. A God that does not withhold anything from his own children. That is the God we have. A God who does not look at evil. A God who does not go about seeking on how to deal with people, how to punish people. But a God who seeks to give and give and give all that he has to the people. For the Bible says that he sends his, you know, the sun to shine upon both the evil and the good. He sends his rain upon the good and the evil. For with God there is no what? No respecter of people. Praise God. We are beginning to have a revelation of what God is and his intention towards us. This thing comes as we hear the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit brings a kind of remembrance to us. Remembrance of, you know, things that we have completely forgotten in the land of forgetfulness. Praise God. Do you know that men in this age are actually sleeping in the graveyard? Men are sleeping in their graves, actually dead. They become dull of hearing. They can't see. They can't hear. They do not understand. No understanding. But the Son of God has come to quicken us by injecting truth into us. Truth. Praise God. And it's only by this truth that we can get the salvation that we seek. It's only by hearing the truth. Praise God. It's only by allowing the truth of who we are, where we came from, the truth about what creation is all about, the truth about what God is to you and what you are to God. The truth from the heart of God that can set a man free from the misery that he lives in. That is our truth. That's why he says the hour cometh where those that are in their graves will hear my voice and they will come back to life. The voice is the voice of truth. So we can see the Son of God has come down to teach us, to cause us to hear the truth. Praise God. And the wish of God is that every man should listen to him. That is why the Father turned that from heaven upon the mountain of transfiguration. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well what? Well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Listen to him. Listen to him because he testifies of the truth. Praise God. Now the Son of God is present today in our midst. That is the voice that is speaking now. That is the voice that is trying to bring remembrance to the people. It's present today in our midst. See? Praise God. People in this world still expect some kind of appearing of Jesus in the flesh, but he's very much present right now within you, speaking to you wherever you are, whatever you are in America, in Canada, or in Australia, or New Zealand, wherever you are, the voice is speaking to you right now. And it's causing an awakening in you. You that sleepeth in the dust, awake. And let the light of life shine upon you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We who begin to hear the voice, begin to purify ourselves and conform ourselves to the truth. As we wait for the appearing of the great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And we know that as he appears, we appear with him. Praise God. Because in reality, in our awakening, it is the Son of God in us that shines forth. It is when we awake from the bed or the graveyard of humanity, when we awake from the sense of mortality that we have been born with, as we begin to awake, what people see is actually the shining forth of the Son of God. What people see is the shining forth of the image of God in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was sharing with some Italian brethren today that gold, if you bury gold underneath the ground and come back 2,000 years later and undig that gold, you will see the gold still maintains its quality. It does not change. I think you saw the tombs of the pharaohs in Egypt. Those ones that were all their tombs were dug over some years ago, and you saw the treasures that came out of the tomb of King Tut. Pure gold, and this gold, the value still remains. It never changes. In likewise manner, the image of God within us is that incorruptible nature. It's like gold. It has been buried inside our mortal consciousness. It has been buried underneath this ground, and we do not know that that treasure was hidden in us. We do not know that that attribute, that glory of God was in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But right now, the light is shining, and we can now begin to rediscover the precious substance out of which we are made. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because right now, we are beginning to understand that we proceeded from him. Praise God. God did not create a beast. God did not create a sinner. God did not create a devil. Praise God. But he's here today to destroy the work of the devil. And the work of the devil is the molding out of the dust, or out of, is the molding of the mortal man of the dust. That's the work of the devil. Praise God. Jesus Christ will look at the scribes and Pharisees and says, offsprings of serpents. See, these are generation of vipers. See, the viper and the serpents and all that is all the same serpent from the Garden of Eden, from the beginning. So you can see that all men who walk in the natural, carnal state, who are subject to vanity, who are ignorant of the truth, who walk in relation to a material world in this corruptible sense of life, mortal sense of life, are actually, they walk in a mistaken identity and walk as offsprings of devils. Devils don't have to have fork and knife. Devils don't have to have tail and horns. See, all those are fables of religion. Praise God. If you want to look at the devil, look at your unregenerate self in the mirror, you see a devil there. Staring at you. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to go too far to look for a devil. Praise God. So, but the appearing of the Son of God is the thing that destroys the work of the devil, which is your mortal image, which is that image that has attached you to the vanities of this age, which has attached you to the lie. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see, God now wants to redeem us out of this thing. That's why the Son of God has come down. In the book of Revelation, John the Apostle saw an angel descending from heaven with a chain in his hand. Praise God. An angel descending from heaven with a chain in his hand. And the Bible says that the angel bound the dragon. Amen. He bound the dragon with a chain. He bound this dragon, which is the serpent, which is the devil, which is Satan. He bound him with the chain and cast him into the bottomless pit. The Lord Jesus Christ says that he is that angel. That's why he said, I have come from heaven to do the will of my Father. And the will of the Father is to get the sons out of the dungeon of hell. Is to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. And it destroys the work of the devil by teaching us truth, revelation. Praise God. That revelation is the chain that holds you, that holds the devil. The illusion of your mortality. He chains it. And he casts it into the bottomless pit. And it is sealed with a key forever and ever and ever, so that you can walk in the freeness and in the liberty of the Son of God. Praise God. Those who allow the work of God to, you know, to walk in them patiently, will discover themselves reigning in new life with Christ. Praise God. These are the ones that appear with Jesus Christ as he appears. These are the ones that appear with God as he appears. Praise God, because the appearing of Christ is the appearing of God, the great God. Because the great God and the true God dwells in the Son, and the Son in God. They are inseparable. If you see the Son, you see God. If you see God, you see the Son. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be in that company. Hallelujah. God wants us to be in that company of saints, that we walk in the glory of the Lord, revealing the attributes of the invisible and incorruptible God to the whole world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I just want us to think of these things carefully, because we've seen a powerful word that Paul uses. It says the grace of God has appeared. See, and God does something only once. God does not go back to do things to recorrect, you know, men correct. Maybe a plan doesn't work out, he comes back, he goes back to correct it, to repair it, and all, to adjust it. But God has appeared. The grace has what? Has appeared. See, it has appeared, and we have to allow this grace work in us right now as we hear the voice of truth. Praise God. This is the grace of God, of the living God. See, this messenger from heaven, this appearance from heaven, this visitation we are receiving in this hour, is something that even the prophets of old did not see. Praise God. The Israelites throughout all their 40 years in the wilderness never received this kind of grace that we receive today. Praise God. The holy, holy prophets, men that offer themselves to be killed for the testimony of God. People who faithfully served God, and you know what they thought was God, who sought God with all their heart, and they never could get this grace that we are getting today on a platter of gold. But we have it today freely, given to us on the platter of God. Even God testified to Moses that I am going to raise up somebody among you in the future, and that one you all must listen to was already speaking about Christ. Praise God. This is the one that came from heaven. We are talking of the appearance of the one that has been from the beginning. A one that was not born of male or female. Praise God. So we have to take this thing very seriously and pray to God, continuous to be, you know, zealous, and you know, continue in meditation, continue into to hunger for the truth. Praise God. Because see, it's always important that every man must hear the voice of truth one way or the other at one point in his lifetime. See, the earlier you hear and obey, the better for you, so that you enter into your rest. Praise God. Many people who have gone the wrong way still have to come back to listening to this voice again. They still have to come and sit down at the feet of the Master to listen to the voice of truth. Praise God. Amen. Rejecting the voice of truth is like rejecting or crucifying Jesus Christ again. See, when they crucify Jesus Christ, what they are just simply trying to do is to shut up the voice. See, they don't want to hear the voice from heaven. See, they don't want to listen to him. They don't want to hear what the Father is saying. They don't want to hear the voice of truth. See, and so when a man, when we reject the truth, it's just, that is the crucifixion, that is crucifying Jesus again. Because he represents that voice of truth. You see, that is speaking today through the Spirit. So when we reject the truth, we reject our salvation, and we, you know, it's like crucifying Jesus unto ourselves again. Because if you hear the truth, in reality, you are supposed to awaken and to live your life unto Christ. See, a new creature has to emerge. See, if you don't allow that creature to emerge, it's like crucifying that creature, that new creature again. Praise God. See, so if we want to be under that cover, continuously, let us be zealous of good works. It's very, very important. Praise God. Now, this is the grace of God that has brought to light immortality and life. You know immortality and life? Praise God. 2 Timothy. See, it talks about the salvation of God. This is a letter to Timothy. Be down, therefore, I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was began. But it's now manifest. It's now made manifest by the appearing of the Savior, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, wherein I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Praise God. See, he has brought what? Light and what? Immortality to light. Yes, that means light and immortality. Before now, the mystery of it has been hidden from our sight. It has been hidden from humanity. Praise God. You can see that God is not the author of death. God is not the author of death, and neither is he author of corruptibility. He's not. Praise God. But these things were hidden from our sight in our transgression in Adam. See it? These things were hidden by us from our sight as we entered into this dark age called the world. See it? Praise God. And where there is no corruptibility, where there is no darkness, there's nothing like death, sorrow, and all these things that we see today. No fear. All these things are fruit of death. All these are fruit of the ignorance that we have in this world today. Praise God. God is not the author of fear. God is not the author of, you know, condemnation. God is not the author of anything negative. See, he's trying to reveal to us today that thing which he created, that thing which came out of him from the beginning. That is what God is trying to reveal to us. And he's trying to tell us that we are all partakers of that thing. So the appearing of Jesus Christ from heaven has brought to light immortality and light. He has brought to light that divine nature that was hidden from our sight. So that those people who can actually get a hold of this mystery will never die. Those people who can get a hold of this mystery will pass over from death to life. See, they will pass over from the realm of sorrow, realm of heaviness, into the realm of joy and peace. Praise God. This is the salvation that is being preached today. And there is no other way a man can get this salvation except by listening to the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. That's why it says the Spirit will teach you all things. The Spirit is teaching you all things. Praise God. So you can just be allowed the Spirit to walk in you, be still, and don't be carried away with the distractions in the outer world. No, the outer world is not distraction. See, that's why we have to at times get out, go out into the wilderness. I'm talking of spiritually. We have to shut ourselves from the outer world, like Moses did, and start to listen to that voice, that still voice that is always speaking. Praise God. Moses came to the burning bush, and what happened? He turned. The Bible says that he heard the voice, and he turned aside to go and investigate. He said, let me go and look at what is happening there, this bush that is burning. See, in fact, he saw the bush burning and he turned aside to investigate. Then he heard the voice. In likewise manner, unless we get out into the quiet and, you know, turn our backs on this world, we can never see and hear the voice of God. Even what John the Apostle saw, the Alpha and the Omega, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that he had to turn to see him. He had to turn his back, turn to see him, to see that voice. See, unless we turn our back on this world, we cannot hear that voice. Unless we can allow a bit of stillness in us, we'll just be carried away with the winds of doctrines that litter this whole universe. See it? All the confusion on the outside is just nothingness. All the activities of men is the activities of the dead. There's a realm of life, gushing with life, hallelujah. A realm where God has prepared for those that love him, that those that hold on to truth. Praise God. A realm of delights, of joy, peace. Hallelujah. A realm of pleasures and delights. Praise God. But these things are hidden from men, because man is distracted with the lies of this age. So we have to go on what they call a spiritual journey. Allow the voice of God lead us. Meditate. This is something that individually must do in our own selves. Praise God. Day and night in meditation. While you meditate, try to remember. Remember the message to the first church in Ephesus. It says, remember from where you are falling. Remembrance is an art of meditation. Praise God. What are you remembering? The voice of God is bringing a remembrance in you from where you came from. It's bringing a remembrance in you about your divinity in you. It's bringing a remembrance of the Son of God in you. Praise God. It's bringing a remembrance of your true righteous nature, of your perfect nature. It's reminding you of who you are. It's reminding you of your self-sufficiency, of the all power that is invested in you. Praise God. And as you remember from where you are falling and begin an ascent, you will discover yourself back in the paradise of God. You will discover yourself back in the Garden of Eden, eating from the tree of life. And then, you know, enjoying, you know, from the fountains of living water, right before God's presence. Praise God. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. Now, his presence is not something you will ever get when you die and go somewhere in the sky. Praise God. The presence is right here, there, right now, present. See, but you just have to awake. Awake to realize the presence. Praise God. The Bible says that the three disciples that went up with Jesus Christ upon the mountain of transfiguration were sleeping. They were sleeping upon the mountain. But when they woke up, they now saw Jesus Christ transfigured like light. His body was glittering like light. His dress was white like snow, you know, whiter than white. His face was shining like the sun. They saw him in his glory when they awoke. In likewise manner, when we awake, we discover the presence of God. When we awake, we discover the presence and the radiant glory of God. And it's always there present. It never leaves us. It never goes anywhere. It's always there. All we just need to do is to come out from the grave. Hear the truth and come out from the grave. Oh, praise God. Hear the truth and begin an ascent out of the grave, out of the dust where Adam went to sleep. Dust you are, dust you return, is the degradation of man as man descends into mortality. Praise God, as man receives of the knowledge of good and evil, which is actually administered to man through the serpent. Serpent is the wisdom of this age, is the wisdom of the natural carnal man. That's the the knowledge of good and evil. See, if you listen to some of my earlier tapes, you see that the serpent is actually man. That thing that crawls on the ground, it talks of the carnal mind, carnality, the natural carnal mind, that is, the mind is fixed on the dust, on the earth. It only sees the natural, is glued on the natural, and it does not understand the things of the invisible. It does not understand the things, see it, that are behind the natural. Praise God. How many of us realize that the things that we see in the natural came out of that which is invisible? Isn't it? This world we see today came out of the invisible, isn't it? The natural came out of the invisible. Praise God. So, if you want to walk as God, if you want to walk as a son of God, bearing the attributes of your Father, you must learn to walk in the invisible. You must learn to walk as your Father walks. Praise God. Recognizing that you are not a creature of the dust. Recognizing that you are not a mortal being. Recognizing that you are not a naturally minded being, but you are a spiritually minded being. So you see, right from the moment a man is born into this world, he's fed with carnality, he's fed with beliefs that try to attach him to the natural. And in so doing, he loses the attributes of the Almighty God in him. Or rather, he forgets, he never loses them. Rather, he's covered, he's shielded, he's veiled, so that secret that is in him, he does not know. You know, when the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus Christ about the kingdom of God, where is it coming? How will it come? You know, people, till today, they still read the scriptures, but they still expect some kingdom to appear from somewhere in the sky. The testimony of Jehovah, they wait for a kingdom, a period in time where everything will be beautiful. If you see their magazines, you see beautiful creatures on the ground, beautiful flowers all over the world. You see children playing with lions and all that. Beautiful pictures. You see, they try to imagine a world, a time when this physical world will become like that. So they are expecting for some kind of, waiting for some kind of event outwardly. Many people are still expecting Jesus to come from heaven and carry them to the sky. Some people are expecting something to happen in Jerusalem, somewhere in Jerusalem, and God will appear there and everybody will gather there. You see it? But Jesus Christ says that what the kingdom of God is where is within you. God's world is within you. The kingdom you are looking for is within you because God dwells within you, is embodied within you. You are the world temple of God. Praise God. You are the Son of God. And God and the Son are the one. The Father inhabits the Son. See, so Jesus Christ told the scribes and Pharisees who eventually killed him that the kingdom of God is where? Is in them. And likewise, manner, if you can hear the voice of the Spirit today, recognize that the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you, and you must awaken from the illusion of this dense natural mind that we have put on over the years and we have sold to, that has attached us to this physical world, this physical plane. We must realize that it is not our world. We must awake to the realm of the Spirit. See, that's why you see Paul talks about this present world. Because Paul knows that this present world is not our world. Praise God. John says that the world passeth away. We love not the world or the things that are in the world. Because the world is what passing away. But those that do the will of God, that is those who hear the voice of truth, those who recognize what God is doing today in their lives and obey Him, abide for what? Forever. These are the ones that will put on immortality and light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But somebody is afraid. See, that's not when you hear things like this. You must recognize one thing. To have God and to have the all power, you must lose all. Praise God. Lose all. You must lose your life. That's what I mean by all. You must lose that life that you have. You cannot have your old life, you see it, and have God. See, this is the eye of the needle that Jesus Christ was talking about, that very few people can pass. Is it? This is the eye of the needle. You know, there was a young man who came to Jesus, and this man was very, very wealthy, religious. You know, when you talk of a wealthy man in the Bible, he's talking about somebody with self-knowledge. Knowledge of self. That's a man who is rich in outer knowledge, in the flesh. And you know, this man came to Jesus, asking Jesus, what can I do to enter into God's kingdom? But Jesus Christ looked at him and liked the man and told him, look, you obey the commandments. The man said yes. Jesus Christ knew, of course, that's not possible. But he now went and told him, okay, to be perfect. Because he realized that man wasn't perfect. He said, to be perfect, give all that you have. Lose all that you have. Give all that you have to the poor and follow me, so that you have treasures in heaven. Follow me and I will lead you to the place of life. And the young lad looked at, Jesus. The Bible says he was sad. He was sad. He knew that Jesus Christ had the words of life. He knew that Jesus was saying the truth. But he couldn't let go. The Bible says he turned back sadly and left. Turned back. And many people today hear this message and turn back. Many people turn back. They hear what this message today and turn back. Many people hear the voice of truth today and turn back. Many people know the truth. They know what God is talking about. But they can't imagine how they can ever do it. And Jesus Christ said, look, how difficult is it for a rich man to do what? Pass through the eye of a needle. See it? Because flesh and blood can't pass through the eye of the needle. Nothing big can pass through the eye of the needle. A camel is like a camel with his humps passing through the eye of the needle. It's impossible. See it? In likewise manner, flesh and blood cannot pass that. You have to be spirit to pass through the eye of the needle. Only spirit, and Christ is spirit, that can pass through the eye of the needle into God's kingdom. Praise God. And, you know, then disciples said, look, we have left all to follow you. And Jesus Christ said, yes, those of you that have left all to follow me, you will do what? You will gain hundredfold of what you've lost in this present world. And, yes, and in the world to come, eternal life. Eternal life in the world to come, you can see it, in the age to come, in the world to come, not this world. This world does not know God. And the world to come is a spiritual kingdom. Praise God. It's a spiritual dimension that God is carrying us together, all of us to. Praise God. Whether we like it, we're all going to end up there in the spiritual realm, God's kingdom. See, but the earlier you will be and, you know, just follow him, the better. So I don't go through horrors. Horrors. Praise God. So, he says that those that have left all for my name's sake, they've left houses. This is your house. This is your house. Do you know that? This is your house. You have to let go of this house for Christ. Amen? You have to give to the poor. That the poor is the spirit. The man of the spirit. You have to let go and let the, you know, give all to Christ. Because Christ has to grow in you. Christ has to reign in you. The man of the spirit has to take over this house. No more the man of the flesh. No more the identity of the flesh, but the man of the spirit, so that God can use his body to reveal his invisible attributes to the world. Praise God. So you must first of all get the revelation of what Christ is and follow Christ in the regeneration. Following Christ in the regeneration is following Christ in the transformation, in the conformation. Praise God. This is the born-again process that the Bible talks about so often. Born-again process is all about, you know, a conformation to the truth. See, now you've heard the truth. Now you see yourself in a pitiable, carnal state, man of the dust. See, but the promise is that you're going to put on the image of the heavenly. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now it says, some of you here, say that we all are born the image of the earthly. The image of the earthly is the man of the dust. which is flesh and blood, and the man of the dust cannot inherit God's kingdom. You can't enter into the place of life, of delight. No. But the promise without condition, is that we are going to also bear the image of what? The heavenly. And the heavenly, yes, the image of the heavenly, which is the image of Christ. Christ represents the heavenly man, the spiritual man. See, we have put on the image of the earthly, which is the natural man. But God's purpose for our life and God's will for our life is that eventually we shall put on the image of what? The heavenly. See, and only but through that image of the heavenly can we enter into God's kingdom. The natural man of the dust cannot enter. The natural man of the earth, which is flesh and blood, cannot enter God's kingdom. It's impossible. It's a rebirth. Praise God. Transformation. Your transformation comes by recognition, recognizing the truth, hearing the truth. See, hearing the truth, you begin to awake from the dust. Hearing the truth, you begin to, the Lord begins to lift you up from the miry clay. Hallelujah. I think it's, you hear in the psalmist praying all the time about the dust. Father, God deliver me from the dust. God deliver me from the miry clay. That is the realm of the dust. That is the realm of the mortal carnal nature that cannot please God. See, some people have cried day and night, wept, they want to please God, they want to do the things that are right in the sight of God, but they cannot. Praise God. Our victory comes as we are waking from the dead, allowing Christ to, you know, to do his work in us. Praise God. It's very important we begin to let go. Hallelujah. Let go of the natural to be partakers of that which is true, that which is in the light, that which is immortality, that which is light, that which is perfect, so that we can enter into the beauty of the Lord. Praise God. Next, I think next meeting we have, I would like to share on the rich man and the poor man. So I will see. You see the consequence of a man's retaining, you know, riches. Riches is, yes, wealth talks about self-knowledge, your human identity. See, in order to live, we must let go. Praise God. It's very important. Also, we shall, in another message, speak about the translation of Elijah. You know, Elijah did not die. He was translated. He was taken up in a, you know, whirlwind with, you know, chariots of fire. See, and those are spiritual messages that God allegories. Those are shadows of the thing that God wants to take his children through. Praise God. Amen. God bless you.